Please, and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. We're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll give you a few moments to find it this evening. And then we will stand in a moment, and I will be reading some of the scripture that will help you be refreshed and be ready to listen for an hour and a half or so, right? And so... You caught that, didn't you? I saw an hour and a half. Are you sure? No, it won't be. But Pastor, we were kind of joking about that before the service started. And I said, well, if I take too long, I'll be the only one here. And everybody else will be gone. But we'll be careful. We'll say what we have to say here and be done with it. All right? 2 Corinthians 5, you have it there? Let's stand as I read the scripture. We're going to start in verse 17, very familiar verse. You may even have this memorized, but the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It goes on to say in verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, did you note that last phrase? It says, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. There's that phrase again, that last phrase, and hath committed unto us the ministry, or the word, here it says in verse 19, the word of reconciliation. Now, verse 20 is ambassadors' theme verse. If you look at word number 5 in this verse, you'll see why. All right. It's in fact in the back of our choir loft in our chapel area, in huge letters are the first words of this verse. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And that's what this verse says. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity of being here tonight. And we just pray that you would bless during this time that we open your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, challenge us, and refresh us with your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we see several things. We're going to mention three main things. As we look at verse 17, we see our new man, our new man. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So Paul here, writing to the church of Corinth, is reminding us that we're different as Christians. Well, how are we different? We're different from the world. We're different from what we used to be. We're different from this worldly system in which we see played out day by day. And it's amazing the darkness of this world, isn't it? Have you ever heard someone just give an opinion, doesn't matter who it was, politician, whatever, and just wondered, how in the world can they think that? You know, you just think of the awful thing of abortion that's gone on now for years and years, the murdering of unborn children, just millions and millions and millions of them, and how people can say, oh, that's okay, you know. And in fact, they're advocating they're born alive, you can kill them, that's all right, you know. How in the name of even common sense could anybody think that? Well, they can think that because they don't know the Lord. They're the old person. Their leader, they belong to this worldly system who's headed up by Satan himself. And so they can't think biblically. They can't think with true wisdom, because that is gained when we trust Christ as our Savior. And so things are changed. When we ask Christ into our heart, it says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I often in my ministry speak in the area of music as a musician. And so one of the things I talk about is that when we're saved, our music ought to be different than the world's music, shouldn't it? It ought to be something that has changed. We ought to look different than the world looks. We ought to think differently than the world thinks. We ought to act differently than the world acts. If we're going to make a difference in this world, we need to be different. I'm sure you've heard that before. So as a new creature in Christ, we need to think about that. Ask yourself, do I fit in with God's folks more than the world's folks, or do I fit in with the worldly crew? You know, if we can be around wicked people and hear their conversation and hear, see their acts and all that goes with that and feel very comfortable, we ought to check up. We ought to check up because as a Christian, we have a new man. And that new man is different from the world. So we see our new man. Then second of all, we see our new mission. Look at verse 18 again. It says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." So what is this thing about reconciliation? I know this is kind of a big word. Simply put, reconciliation is that healing of our relationship to God that was broken by sin. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden, they had great fellowship with God before sin. You know, that God would come down and he would talk with them, and as the old song says, "And he walks with me and he talks with me," kind of based on that thought, how that they would come. Can you imagine no sin, a garden with no weeds? You know, yeah, I don't know how many of you have a garden this summer, but I don't know how well it grew, but I can guarantee the weeds grew. You know, maybe nothing else grows, but the weeds grow, right? Can you imagine being in that wonderful Garden of Eden before sin and no curse on the earth? No sin whatsoever, the sweet fellowship. But one day, Adam and Eve rebelled against God. God had said, don't, and they did. They partook of the fruit that God had said expressly, you can have all the other fruit. But isn't that like us, you know? We, instead of being happy for what we do have, a lot of times we complain about what we can't have. And we've just kind of carried it on. And so they had all this stuff that they could eat. But there they partook of the fruit that day, and that sin broke that fellowship. And that day when God came to the garden, it wasn't sweet fellowship, was it? It was, "Adam, Adam, wherefore art thou, Adam?" And Adam, what was he doing? He was over hiding in the bushes, wasn't he? Why? Because of sin. That fellowship had been broken. That relationship had been severed. And the only way that that relationship can be restored is through Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The only way to restore our relationship and become a child of God is through Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. And that is the ministry of reconciliation. That is being reconciled to God. And here the Bible says in verse 18 at the end, we pointed it out before, that he says, "And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So as we think about that, who's the us that he's talking about? You know, a lot of times we think that us is preachers. You know, he's given preachers the job of telling people about Christ. He's given missionaries the job of telling people about Christ. He's given that to evangelists. He's given that to what we commonly think of sometimes as full-time service people, you know. And that's who he's given it to. But you know, that's not who Paul is addressing here. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. He's writing to saved people. He's writing to the people he just talked about in verse 17, that we become a new creature in Jesus Christ. So those that have trusted Christ. And he says, "And he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." And so although sometimes we think that's for the pastor, it's for all of us. You can look in vain to see in the Word of God that the ministry of reconciliation is limited to the preachers, or limited to the evangelists, limited to the missionaries. Paul here says he's given it to us. Look at the end of 19. It says, "And he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." So we not only have our new man, but we have our new mission. And that new mission is the ministry of reconciliation. Now, some people look upon this kind of like a Mission Impossible. I don't know if you remember back years ago, they used to have a TV program called Mission Impossible. This is not in any way an endorsement of that program, all right? But just as illustration of it. It was a team of people, and they would be given a task that seemed impossible. In fact, it was humanly impossible. But they would always accept it, and they would always come through in the end and accomplish what they needed to accomplish. You know? But it was called Mission Impossible. And a lot of Christians tend to look on this mission as something that's impossible. I just can't do it. But you know, the wonderful thing is we have God's power on our side, and God can. Maybe in our own human strength we can't, but God can. Remember the song we just sang? God can. And God can help us to accomplish His will. And His will is for all of us. I'm not talking to the person next to you. I'm talking to you tonight, all right? And God's purpose and will and mission is for all of us to be involved in the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of bringing people to Christ, telling people about Christ. Now, we have different jobs. We have different places to be involved in that ministry. Doesn't mean that all of us are going to go to a foreign country and be involved in the ministry there. Some of us will. But it means that where you are, where God has placed you, you're to accept this mission to be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. Second of all, our new mission also includes, verse 20, being ambassador for God. It says, "For now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead." Christ is no longer here. I don't know why God chose us, but He did. You know, He could send an angel down every day to proclaim the gospel. But He chose us. It's a wonderful privilege, isn't it? Amen. You know, if you received a telegram today or a letter, official letter, and saying that you were going to be an ambassador of the United States to some foreign country, that would be quite a privilege, wouldn't it? It's a prestigious position to be an ambassador of a country to another country. But what greater privilege could there be to be an ambassador for God? You know, the definition of an ambassador from the dictionary is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. Well, you say, "Brother Doyle, I got you there. I'm not going to go to any foreign country. I can't be an ambassador." Well, you're wrong. And you say, "Why, Brother Doyle?" Well, if we looked in Hebrews, we're not going to take time to look tonight, but if we looked in the book of Hebrews, as it was mentioned, the people who lived by faith, it mentioned that they realized that they were just strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Why? Remember, we're a new creature. We don't belong to this world. We're not part of the worldly system. We're part of God's heavenly kingdom as a child of God. And so we can be an ambassador for God. We're an ambassador for Him. We're an ambassador for His kingdom. We're representing Him officially to the world. And how this world needs people who will be an ambassador for God. Our neighbors need us. They need to be able to see Christ in us. Our co-workers need to be able to see Christ in us. Our family members need to see Christ in us. We need to be an ambassador for God. Mission impossible? No. God can. And He can through us. And He can use each one of us, no matter our age, no matter our IQ, no matter what. No matter, there's no stipulations here. God can use us. So we have our new mission. We also have our new motivation. We'll look quickly at this, and then we're going to illustrate it in the life of Moses, and we'll be done. All right? Our new motivation. We didn't read this verse, but look back at verse 14. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." That word constraineth means compels or it kind of presses us. It almost forces us. "The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." But that first phrase, "for the love of Christ constraineth us." If we as a Christian will just remember what Christ did for us, His love for us that caused Him to leave the glories of heaven, come to this earth, that's an amazing thing right there. You know, we can't really wrap our minds around the glories of heaven. One of these days we'll be there. But, you know, a place of perfection, He left that to become a man and live in this world, be born in a manger, to grow up in this wicked world, all the time the shadow of the cross looming before Him. And Christ did that for us. And as we remember the love of Christ for us and our love for Him, it will constrain us. It will compel us to say, yes, I can serve Him. Yes, I can be involved in this ministry of reconciliation. And so we have our new man, we have our new mission, and we have our new motivation. You know, the world is motivated by a lot of things. And if we as Christians aren't careful, we will begin to be our life will be motivated by the same things that motivate the world. What motivates the world? Well, things, you know. A lot of times they just, oh, if I can get this one more thing, I'm going to be, you know, that's what I'm living for. I'm living for a little bit nicer home. I'm living for a little bit nicer car. Living for that bottom dollar line, you know. Just a little more money. I'm living for prestige. I'm living for power. That's what the world lives for. But you know, the unfortunate thing is I know a lot of Christians that are living for the same things. But if we will remember what Christ did for us, it will constrain us. It will compel us to say, yes, God, whatever you want, I'll do it. I'll be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. I will be an ambassador for you. Turn over to Exodus chapter 3. Moses was a wonderful leader. A lot of times we tend to put leaders, as I mentioned previously, kind of up on a pedestal and saying, you know, they're kind of special people. They're not like us. No, they're just people that have said yes. And Moses was a tremendous leader. In fact, if I gave you a piece of paper tonight and asked you to write down all of the greatest leaders you can think of in the Word of God, Moses would have to make that list, I think, you know, if we sat down and really thought it through. Because it was this Moses that led the children of Israel out of Egypt after the 10 plagues. Remember those? And he would go to Pharaoh and talk to him and say, let my people go. And Pharaoh would refuse and God would send another plague. It was this Moses that held his rod up over the Red Sea, which parted, and they walked through on dry ground, not muddy, dry ground. It was this Moses that struck the rock, and water came gushing out to quench the thirst of the Israelites. It was this Moses that went up to the mount and spoke with God, and when as he came down from the mount, his countenance was so full of the glory of God that men could not bear to look upon him. He was shone so brightly that he had to put a veil over his face. Remember that? He'd be right in style at Walmart. He could just go right in, be fine. Welcome to Walmart. Yeah. But Moses, the glory of God shone so brightly that he had to. It was this Moses. But you know, it didn't always start out exactly like that. We tend to think, oh yes, he's superhuman, you know. But look in Exodus chapter 3, we'll find out that Moses didn't just accept this mission just, you know, like that. Look, God is speaking to Moses at the burning bush. And look at verse 11 of Exodus 3. You see it there? Verse 11 says, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? So here's first Moses' first concern or his first excuse. He says, he says, I don't have the qualifications. He says, who am I? Have you ever felt like that? You know, how can I do this? How can I be involved? How can I speak to someone? Who am I? You know, well, Moses had the same concerns. He says, who am I that I should do this? Look at his second excuse down in verse 13. It says, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come into the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? So is the second excuse was, I don't know what to say. Pastor, I don't know how many people have said, you know I should witness to people, I should talk to them about God, but what if they ask me a question that I don't know? Here's what Moses said. Moses, what if they ask me a question that I don't know? What am I going to say? Don't use that as an excuse. You know, but why? Because God can enable you. He had another excuse, though. Look down at verse 10 of chapter 4. You may have to turn the page. I don't know. But chapter 4, verse 10. It says, And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. So here's his last excuse. He says, I don't have the talent. I don't know how many testimonies I've heard from pastors, evangelists, missionaries, full-time Christian workers who have said, you know, when God called me and placed his hand on my life, I said, God, you have the wrong person. I can't talk. I can't stand in front of people. I can't, you know, whatever, you know, all of their excuses. I can't. And that's exactly where Moses was here. And maybe that's where you are today. Maybe tonight, as you listen, you say, you know, I see that God, you know, in His Word asks us to be involved in helping people come to Christ. I see that. But I just don't know if I can. Whatever excuse you're thinking about, you know, God can take care of that. What happened to Moses? Moses, later on, after saying he can't talk, he did all sorts of talking. You know, he talked to Pharaoh, he talked to the children of Israel, in fact, you know, God gave him Aaron to help him, but after, you know, a lot of times Aaron said the wrong thing, you know, and Moses said the right things. God used him in a wonderful, wonderful way because God can. And God can use us if we'll just be willing and do it. In fact, that is the secret. Let's look at that and we're done, all right? Look at the secret of how Moses was used. Look in chapter 3, verse 4. Chapter 3, verse 4. Now this is right at the beginning of the experience at the burning bush. It says, And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. So Moses was listening, wasn't he? You know, it wasn't one of these things, you know, he hears the voice of God and he's, you know, it's kind of like this. No, he says, Here am I. Now, he did give the excuses after this, you know, and that's understandable. But at least he was listening. Are we listening to God? We encourage young people and adults all across the nation, pray about what God would have you to do. You know, pray about what God would have you to do in your life. Pray about your future, etc. And because we need to be listening to God. And Moses was obviously listening. He says, Here am I. But I think the real key was found in Exodus 4 and verse 18. The first three words of verse 18 says, And Moses went. After all the excuses, after all the conversation, Moses went. And we, in our churches today, we need some Christians who will say, I went, you know, I'll go. I'll do what God wants me to do. And God will empower us to do that. And He obviously was with Moses. And He'll be with you. God can. We can't, but God can. And we need to just say, I'll go. I'll do it. Whether it's to give someone a tract, whether it's to speak to someone, you know, take a Bible and show them Christ, whether it's to invite them to church, being involved in the ministry of reconciliation. Wherever you are, whoever you are, you know, as a plumber, you can be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. As a banker, you can be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. No matter what you have been called to do in your life, we need to be involved in reconciling people to Christ. But you know, there are some of you in a crowd of this size, I'm sure there are some of you that God's going to place his hand upon you and call you to what we call full-time Christian service. Don't be hesitant about that. Just say, Dear God, if that's what you want, I know you will enable me to do that. Whether it's being a preacher, an evangelist, a missionary, a musician, a youth worker, a Christian school teacher, whatever that is, Say yes. Yes, just do it. Go as you pray and as God leads you. How we need young people who will say yes. How we need adults who will say yes. You know, it's never too late. We have adults that come to Ambassador Baptist College and get training and go off and serve the Lord. It's never too late to serve Him. So we have our new man. We have our new mission. We have our new motivation. Let's just do it and serve God, would you? And just say, yes, God, I'll do it with your help. I'll speak to that coworker. I'll speak to that neighbor. I'll give them a tract. I'll do something. I'll be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. Can you imagine if instead of about 1% of the Christians in the churches were really involved in bringing people to Christ, if we had more like 100%, can you imagine what would happen? Can you imagine what would happen if an army of Christians would rise up in this old wicked world and begin to reach out to the world? What a difference we could make. And I pray that we will. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for this passage of Scripture. I pray that you would help us all to see it's for us. And that we would even right now begin to make plans, if we've not been involved in reconciling people to you, that we would start making plans. We'd start carrying tracts. We would start talking to people. That we would accept this mission that's not impossible through you. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Then, dear Lord, I pray that you would call someone from this church into a full-time position. Perhaps there's a pastor sitting here under the sound of my voice, a future pastor, a future evangelist, a future missionary, a future youth worker. I pray that you'd call them and help them to say yes. We ask in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you that you just stand like that with heads bowed and eyes closed. And I'm going to ask Donna just to play through a couple of stanzas of Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way. And as she plays, would you respond to what the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart about tonight? Maybe it's the matter of being involved in the ministry of reconciliation. Maybe you say, I've not been involved and I want to. Maybe you're not involved as much as you were at one time. Perhaps someone under the sound of my voice has felt God's call on your life to a full-time position. Would you surrender to that? Make tonight the night to say yes. I'll lay the excuses aside and I'll just depend upon God to help me. And I will pursue getting prepared for that. This last stanza says, Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. An ambassador for God. Would you look this way? Thank you so much, and appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. Again, don't rush right out. Come browse a while on the table. Get some information. You say, Brother Doyle, I don't plan to go to Bible college. Well, you might know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that needs some information. You know, so grab something, and we would appreciate it if you just keep. You know, hear somebody especially that's thinking about the ministry, say, I know a college that you could consider, a college that you could pray about. And we just want folks there that God wants there. And I know He has people that He will direct our way. And if you are someone you know and love as one of those people, we would be thrilled to death. And it'd be wonderful to be able to see have that relationship even a little bit later on. But Pastor, why don't you go ahead and come.